Americans' belief in an almighty God. In 1991, 86% believed that God is an almighty God. In 2021, only 46% believe in an almighty God. And this is not just in this report, but the Pew Research Center, there's some other organizations that's not Christian friendly, per se, like NPR, CNN, all that. They also have their reports. Some of them are dated 2023, 2020, so forth. But this is the one that I had gotten. Belief that the Bible is the Word of God. In 1991, 70%. In 2021, 41%. And this is something that has stayed steady at just under 2%. The rejection of some Christians that don't believe that there's a hell. But yet the scriptures is full of talking about going to hell. Maybe not popular nowadays, but we got to remember that sin is what separates us from God. And then for the last one here, it says that the Hispanics are the most religiously known block of believers. But those who say, those who said they don't know, don't care, or don't believe that God exists, rose from 3% in 1991 to 31% in 2021. So we have some work to do. We have some work to do. You know that when things happen in with Israel, they would leave traditions, or they would leave some kind of things that the next generation would know what happened and why it happened, so that they can continue on what they knew. So it seems to me so odd with these. I'm going like, well, maybe, you know, it's just this one. But when I looked around, like I said, Pew Research Center and others, and they had almost the same. And what's ironic about it as well is that when I went to Costa Rica and I looked up for the Costa Rican one, it's almost the same as well. Just some, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 points off, and but almost the same thing from a different organization. So anyways, it's ironic to me. It's like, okay, so if we're wanting to respond to the call of God, then we have to believe that he is God. That if this is the Bible is not just a story, but that the Bible is the Word of God. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is inspired by God. And it is so we can have it to instruct, to reprove, to teach, to rebuke. And it's there so that we know that God is real. So how some folks may not believe that the Word of God is a true Word of God, I don't know. So anyways, when we look at this, we're going like, how do we respond to the Word of God, to God's calling? And God had made a calling, and in this case, I'm going to read off of 1 Samuel and look at it, chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. And it reads this, like this. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the high priest, and Samuel was staying with Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Mine's the old King James Version. And basically saying that the word lacked. It wasn't prevalent in those days. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou dost call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou that shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Praise God. So here we have Samuel, and Samuel responded to the Lord, but after Eli, the first two, three times, didn't realize it, but then he figured that, oh, wait a minute, it's got to be the Lord. How many believe that the Lord can speak audibly, that you can hear him? You know, I remember one time I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, wake me up in the morning so I can pray. Because sometimes you get into these spells where it's easy to pray, and other times it's not. And I asked the Lord, Lord, wake me up. And around 3 o'clock in the morning, I kind of woke up like nothing. But then I got sleepy, and I started staying in bed. And all of a sudden, I just heard this, like a ruckus happen in the kitchen, like all the dishes fell and everything. And I went downstairs. There was nothing. Everything was organized. I'm going like, oh, okay, Lord. Now I know what you're saying. Get up. Praise the Lord. You know, we got to shake off all those things that are keeping us down. Motivation. Wanting to do things for the Lord. Now, so here we are, and Samuel responded. Now, there are three things that the Lord does. He calls us. He prepares us, and he sends us. He calls us, prepares us, and he sends us. Now, he does these things, or he does it this way, but yet there are times that we want to do things our own way. He calls us, but sometimes we know that we have a calling, and a calling doesn't mean that, oh, he called you to the pastor, or he called you as an evangelist, or what have you, but he's called each and every one. If we are saved, if we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are called to preach the gospel. We are called to be a testimony of Jesus in the world. A lot of times people say, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to say anything. Just talk about what the Lord has done in your life. And I think Pastor Paul talked about that a couple weeks ago. What has the Lord done in your life? Just let people know that. Hey, all I know is that this is how I was, and when I came to the Lord, this is how I am, and praise the Lord for that. You just never know who you're going to touch just with your testimony. So sometimes we try to get ahead of ourselves, that we think we can do it. So this is what happened to Moses. In the case of Moses, God had called him from a child. And many know the story where Pharaoh was trying to kill the children, the young males, and Moses was saved, and he grew up. And when he grew up, he knew that he was called. So he goes over to this area where the Hebrews are, and he sees an Egyptian, because at this time there all the Israelites in that area are slaves. They're slaves. So they have the Egyptians around them. And what happens? He sees one of the Egyptians beating one of them up. So Moses goes over there and kills that Egyptian and buries him in the sand. He felt compelled to protect his people. And then what happened? The next time he came around, and now you have two Jews, two Israelites fighting against each other. So he comes and tries to break them up, and then one of them comes out and says, What? What are you going to do? Are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian? So now Moses gets nervous and scared because now Pharaoh knows about it, and he goes out to try to get Moses. So what happened to Moses? Now Moses leaves because he's trying to get ahead. He was there for 40 years. He thought that I could do it. Sometimes aren't we like that? I can do it. Or we'll take scriptures out of context and apply it to what we want to do, and we get ahead of what God wants to do in our lives, and it doesn't work, and then we wonder, why is it this not working? Because we're getting ahead. So a lot of times we get ahead. Other times, we try to deny. We don't want to do it. God calls us, and we don't want to do it. Like in the example of Jonah, chapter 1. Here, God calls Jonah to go to the Ninevites. And Jonah right away tries to get away from God and gets onto this boat and leaves. Where can we go that God can't see us? A lot of times, we do the same thing. We try to avoid what God has in store for us. We don't want to go to that calling and to do whatever what God wants us to do. Sometimes we know that we should be doing it, but we don't do it. So we're just trying to get away. We don't want to do it. And then there's others like Saul. Here comes Saul, and God calls him. He finds himself in Damascus, and boom, comes face to face with Jesus. Because remember, when he encountered him, he said, "Lord, who are you?" He goes, "I'm Jesus, who you persecute." So God calls him, but he tells him to go to the city, and then over there they're going to tell him what to do. And then later on in chapter 9, and in verses 15 through 16, it talks about how now God tells Ananias, "Hey, just go ahead and heal him because he knows that you're coming, and I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer for the gospel." You know, sometimes you got to remember what goes around comes around. He was persecuting all the church. He was doing all this, and now it's his turn to go and preach the gospel, and now he is to suffer. So he's go ahead and he's just encountering God. So now he comes another situation where sometimes we just keep ourselves from coming to the Lord and from heeding on his calling, that God says, "Don't worry about it. I'll get somebody else." Would we want to find ourselves in that situation? I don't think so. We have an example. Remember when Samuel kept on praying for Saul? He kept on praying and praying. And what did God tell him? "Why do you keep on praying? I've rejected him. I've rejected him." 1 Samuel 16:1. Ephesians 4:30 says not to sadden the Holy Spirit in our lives. We don't want to reject him. So now we looked at, okay, God gives us a calling. And now that God gives us a calling, he's going to prepare us. So let's go to the same examples. We have Moses, Exodus chapter 2, 16, through Exodus 1 through 9. What happens? Now Moses gets sent. He goes to Midian. Remember, he was 40 years over in Egypt. Now he goes to Midian for another 40 years. So now he's what? 80 years old. So if you think you're too old, you're not that old. 80 years old now, and he spends his time over in Midian. Over there, he gets married, he has children, and towards the end of those chapters, he comes to a burning bush so that God gives him the instructions of what he's to do next. He's prepared him all this time. He went to the best schools in Egypt. Now he's overlooking at it and being humble in Midian, and now he has to go and get the calling. He gets a calling after all this. Look what happened to Jonah, as we said earlier. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 5 and through 2 and 10. Chapter 2, 10. Now Jonah gets into this boat, gets thrown out of the boat. A big fish swallows him up. Doesn't say it was a whale, by the way. It says it was a big fish that swallowed him up. Although even if the Bible said that Jonah was the one that swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. It's the scripture says it. But it says that it was a big fish, and he went into that fish. And while he was in that womb of the fish, the stomach of the fish, he prayed to God. God was preparing him for what was to come. Then that fish comes and spits him out over there in Nineveh. Here's the other situation with Saul. Now Saul, got to remember that he was one of the big wigs over in with the over in where he was with the religious people over in his area, Damascus, before Damascus and stuff like that. So he was knowledgeable in the things of God. So he got more preparation because now he actually met Jesus. Maybe not, you know, the face and all that, but it said that, hey, I am Jesus, the one who you persecute. So he went and he showed him what he needed to do. He went through his trials and tribulations that lasted him forever because at one point he even asked God, God, take this away from me. So something stayed on there with him. And God says, like, hey, my mercy is enough for you. So he went through all that preparation before he was sent. Now God sends these people, right? So let's see how he sent Moses. So now with Moses, he comes in. That's Exodus 4:10. He comes in, and Moses starts giving excuses of why he can't go or how he can't make it or because he's old, because he what is he going to say, who's he going to take, and so forth, giving all these excuses. Sometimes we give excuses when God calls us to do something. And again, it doesn't mean that he's calling us audibly. It could be that the pastor is asking you to do something. It could be anybody that the Lord has just directed to just giving you a calling to go or to do something. But remember, like Moses did at the beginning, don't get ahead of God. Make sure, pray, seek God. Make sure that it is God that's telling you to go someplace. You know, it's not like, okay, I had a dream that he sent me to China. And maybe he just wanted you to go get some Chinese food. I don't know. Make sure that if God calls you, he'll prepare you and he'll send you. So here's Moses now complaining, whining. But then at the end, he does go. And we know the rest of the story that Moses was able to bring the people out of Egypt. How about Jonah? Again, he puts him out in Nineveh. He goes out, starts preaching, prophesizing what God had told him to say. And then what happened? You got all the people, the king, the animals, the children, all of them fasting and praying, and God forgave them. And then Jonah got mad about that. I would think that if I'm preaching and everybody gets saved and repents and converted, man, that would be awesome. Praise the Lord. But he got mad. I knew it. That's why I didn't want to come. So Jonah's complaining to God, who God sends him. And how about Saul, who now is Paul? So in Acts 13, Paul's now together, and here come the elders, and they're praying and they're fasting, and the Holy Spirit says, put Barnabas and Paul aside for the work that I have for them. And he sends them out. Because God had a plan for them. God had called them. So remember, God calls us, God prepares us, and God sends us. You know, in Puerto Rico and a lot of these Latin places, a lot of times we have a saying, if I invite you to eat, let's say, if I invite you to eat, then I'm paying. I can't invite you to eat and then expect you to pay because I don't know if you had money. I don't know who, you know, if I invite. So we always have a saying, if we invite, right? If we invite, we pay. Well, guess what? If God invites you, he's going to pay. If God invites you, he's going to support you. He's going to provide the resources. He's going to provide everything for you because he invited us. And that's how God works. So remember, don't get ahead of him. For sure, don't deny him. And for sure, just make sure that what he's providing you is what you do. Praise the Lord. So now, it's kind of difficult to understand sometimes because I've heard, okay, we want a revival. We want this with the Lord. But yet the revival starts with us. The revival starts with us. And if he's making a calling in our lives, then what are we doing with that calling? You know, God said in his word that he put and made some people pastors, evangelists, teachers, and so forth and so forth, so that the body could be perfect to do things. So my prayer today is that when we leave this place, let us think about what are we doing with the call that God has made in our lives. How can these numbers continue going the way they're going? How can they? But it is up to us, each and every one of us, to make sure we do our part so that we can get rolling again. I know we say, oh, God has everything under control. God knows all this, and he does. But yet he still tells us to pray without ceasing. And he still tells us to call upon him. Why? I don't know, but that's what God says. There's something that happens in the air. There's spiritual wickedness in the heavens that we don't understand. But God tells us to pray without ceasing and continuously going forward. So if we want to heed to the calling that God has given us, then we have to do a little bit of examination in our lives. And that goes for all those that are on social media as well, watching me through social media. Because a lot of times we have time for TV, we have times to travel, we have times to do all these things. But then for the things of God, we don't have time. Are we really believing in God? We have to take all doubt. We have to take all things that are distracting our minds out of the way. And focus on God. All those things, we have to take it out of our minds if we want to seek God in spirit and in truth. To conclude here, remember that Samuel didn't understand why he was being called. And neither did Eli. But when he recognize that, hey, there was a calling, there was a tug in our heart, then he understood that, hey, it's the Lord. So that when the Lord calls you, know that it is him and that you say, here I am. Let's go ahead and stand. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for having us here this morning, Lord, and we give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, and that we may leave here not as we came, but full of your Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah.